TV Corner.
Hey guys, welcome to another Film Course TV Corner podcast. This time we're kind of covering the halfway point of HBO's Westworld. I've got Alex.
What's up?
And Greg here.
Hello.
So yeah, we're just going to talk about, like, you know, what it's looking like so far, as, you know, what kind of longevity it has as a series and not just being the cool new thing right now. So right off the bat, we can tell that this series is super fucking expensive, spending roughly $8 to $10 million per episode. But it has delivered the biggest premiere on HBO in the past 3 years. That's including, like, the last season of Game of Thrones. So people are super excited about it, with good reason, I think, so far. We have a really interesting story where in the near future, there's an ark inhabited by these androids, and you can do whatever you want in this Western setting for $40,000 a day. Naturally, with that kind of money and those kind of, you know, that kind of environment, things are gonna kind of go awry. And so, of course, we're tackling themes of human corruption, artificial intelligence, kind of where humans go when there aren't any rules. Let's just jump right into, like, a quick overview. So far into the series, we see that the robots are becoming somewhat self-aware, and in their initial programming, they're not supposed to question kind of, like, what their role is in their world, even though every day they're kind of repeating the same storyline and repeating the same loop. But a few robots have started to kind of deviate from their set roles. And we see the biggest changes, people like Dolores and Mauve and Prospector robot that they find, like, wandering through the canyon that gets stuck.
That tries to kill Elsie. Or you think he tries to kill. He kills himself, but you think.
Yeah.
But he, that one specifically, right, they found something inside him that looks like he was being controlled by somebody else, like, right? So there's some sort of duplicity as far as who's controlling them, right?
So aside from that, I think there's also kind of a questionable kind of tinkering happening with Ford and Bernard, played by Jeffrey Wright, who both seem to kind of be egging the robots on in a way to cause a lot of self-awareness and for them to, you know, in some ways rebel against their programming. So I think there's, like, two forces at play here. I think there might be another party besides these two, but I definitely think that, like, Bernard's conversations with, like, Dolores, for example, are definitely causing her to, you know...
Let's get to the elephant in the room here, which is that Alex and I are not huge fans of the show. You are. And so we're talking about, like, why these malfunctions happen, and I would like for you to explain to me why I should care. Because the whole problem that I have with this show is that they're robots, and the fact that their memory gets wiped and then has stopped getting wiped, and so they have this memory of what happened to them before, really isn't compelling to me. I mean, the only times that I'm at all interested in this show is when I see how it affects the humans, right? So, like, the Jimmy Simpson character, he's sort of our new good guy, the young guy, who ends up with Dolores in the last episode. He is horrified when his buddy stabs the old miner in a restaurant, and I thought that was really interesting, right? Because he gets physically hurt at seeing that sort of pain. At the same time, he's doing it all wrong, right? I mean, the other guy actually is playing the game correctly. And I have this, I have this moment when I'm watching Ed Harris, like, and he's just, like, hanging out with robots, talking like like a cowboy, and he's like this bad guy. But in my head, I'm like, you're such a nerd. You're just walking around playing cowboys and Indians with a bunch of robots.
That's true.
You know, like, I don't know what, like, am I really supposed to think he's evil?
We don't think he's evil, because at one point somebody thanks him for, like, some sort of like a philanthropic gesture he did, like, save their sister, right?
Yes. Wait. Let's back up to a little bit to Greg's point about, like, why should we care about these robots? Like,
stakes.
Get where the stakes are.
I was going to say it's like having to care about, like, or like, it's the equivalent of caring about a toaster, but then I thought about the Brave Little Toaster, and I realized that one can be made to care about, like, you know, fucking objects, right? So
that's
it can
true,
be done.
That's true.
Well, yeah, because, you know,
they're vulnerable.
The Brave Little Toaster, he never forgets something. I mean, it's, you know, he's given, like, it'd be one thing if these robots had some sort of, you know, like, I think the first episode should have had some way to tell us that, okay, yeah, they're not human per se, but they operate with all the rules of humanity, and then their form of destruction is, like, they get deactivated or something. You know, just something to let me know that there is a point of no return.
Well, I will argue that, okay, I think it relies for us to be empathetic to them, because even if we don't really view their existence as valuable as, like, actual humans, because there really is less of a, there's no risk for them. They can be rebuilt, reprogrammed, cleaned. They can just, they live eternally, essentially, in this world, in this scenario. But, you know, for example, if a dog gets hurt, You know, dogs don't have, like, the longest memory, you know? They can, you know, for a few hours, I remember, like, hey, a person hit me, and I'm going to be sad about it. But maybe, like, you know, a few days later, they might forget about it. But still, we don't want that thing to experience pain if we think it's actually capable of feeling that emotion. And I think that's kind of what the bigger question is. Like, if they're really experiencing it, even temporarily, those genuine sensations, which they've kind of been programmed to get pretty close to, then is it ethically okay, you know? Do we deserve to just create this life and just walk away from it if we think that, oh, it's okay because it's just not quite human?
But you know, but I mean, look, that's obviously what the show is trying to do, right? That's 100% the aim of it. I don't know that I buy the effect of it. And I think it's a problem of really giving me stakes and rules for these robots. Because right now, like, for example, you know, in this last episode, and I'd love to hear what you guys thought of this scene, because I think I need it clarified. But when Anthony Hopkins is having dinner with poor man's Lucy Liu, you know, and then, like, these giant tractors are coming towards his house, and he stops all the robots, everyone. He has this omnipotent control and power, and that to me really diminishes any sort of seriousness that I can expect of them. You know what I mean? Like, they can malfunction, but then I'm worrying about the humans around them, about them.
That's true. Truly, I think disturbing is, like, the idea that these robots can be used as a weapon. When Anthony Hopkins, you know, freezes time in that moment, he is using a form of intimidation by showing his power. Not true power that he actually possesses, but to tell you that I can control these machines. And how guests, for example, choose to interact with those machines. It's all like a power dynamic. And that's what this whole world is about. Like, having the power that you don't have in the real world. So I think that that's just, I think if anything, the robots are meant to be like kind of a mirror towards people. And it's not really about the robots themselves. Like, if anything, they're just pieces in this entire game that men are playing. Or not men specifically, but humans are playing with each other.
No, I mean, completely. But then my question to you would be, like, whose story are you actually most invested in?
I think I think really we're most invested in at this point, probably William's development, the man in black, and what's going on with, like, with Ford and the currently not present but somehow still present Arthur. We're hearing a lot of
Arnold, right?
Arnold, sorry. I've seen a lot of Arthur memes lately, so it's really on the brain.
Alex, what about you, man? What's your sort of who I mean, I know you don't love the show, but is there any storyline that's particularly...
Well, I don't know. The weird thing about William is that he starts out so, like, sort of chaste or whatever, the same way that what's the guy's name that plays Cyclops in
James Marsden.
X-Men.
James Marsden.
James Marsden. You know, like, they sort of fake you out, Marsden, and you think that he's, like, Teddy. Yeah, you think he's, like, a patron of the park, but it turns out he's just, like, this, like, guy's programmed to be a loser, like, you know, in every showdown. But it's just, like, the idea of this, like, nice guy or whatever that, like you said, Greg, like, isn't using the park properly. It's a weird, I don't know, it's interesting that, like, you know, he gets sort of, like, you know, this thing with Dolores, but I don't know. It feels strange that, like, why would you even go? Like, it's a lot of money, but I guess because he's marrying into it or whatever. But yeah, still,
well,
it's still
he, unclear, right? And I guess that's the dragged into it by his business partner / brother-in-law. So I don't think he really wanted to go. I think he was like, well, I think it's more like I thought it was like a bachelor party kind of thing, because he made it seem like, oh, you're about to marry my sister. I chose you for this trip. So that's what I kind of thought was insinuated.
It's like your buddy makes you go to Vegas or something and go to all the strip clubs.
Yeah. Just a really expensive trip to Vegas.
I don't know. It's, like, not particularly totally compelling yet. Because, basically, like, the man in black is just a dork trying to find a cheat code. Right?
So seems like it. I mean,
he's, like, played this game many times, and now he's just trying to, like, hit all those, like, little extra, like, side stories. You know, like, when you play Final Fantasy for, like, the fifth time, you're like, oh, I want to make sure I talk to that one guy in that one scene so I can unlock this, like, side mission that gives me, like, one more dress sphere. Sorry, that's, like, really, I went down a black hole with that. But,
you know, that actually brings up a good point. Like, I don't know, like, where you guys are with video game playing, but, like, I've never been a huge video game person. And so maybe the fact that it's basically just a video game, it's a movie about, like, a show about a very interactive video game, maybe that's part of the thing that doesn't appeal to me. It's just like I don't care that they're playing a video game because I don't really care about video games, and so the repetitive nature of like what they're doing and what they're trying to achieve is just, it's not particularly, yeah, it's like it's, it can all reset, like they can all, like the malfunctioning, yeah, it's,
it can
like
all reset. Stop the malfunctioning. Exactly.
You just turn off the robots and just end them, get new robots, whatever, it doesn't matter.
It's, you know, the, I think I would have a lot more kinder words to say about it if I knew that this was a miniseries or something, you know, like Armani, I'm nervous about the fact that this is going to be, I mean, you mentioned the prices mm-hmm. of the episodes and stuff like that, or the cost of the episodes, that this is going to be the next flagship, because I think what we have here is a show that has a smarter conceit than the execution will allow it to actually, you know, reveal. I mean, the I don't know if you guys saw the original movie. I did see it back in the day because I just wanted to sort of finish off my Yul Brynner list. And
the world's greatest original bald man.
Exactly. And you know, it's just like a little thriller. I mean, there's nothing really special about it. It's like an indictment on wealthy classes, on just sort of like the ridiculous spending of wealthy people. But you know what they're doing here, they're clearly trying to touch on a lot of existential issues about humanity and identity and what it means to be alive. And I think it shouldn't be that. I think it should be a straight entertaining, just like mystery. And maybe it still will be, and that's why, and that's why I'm sticking with it. But it does smack to me of something that is trying to be smarter. And you know, the Nolan brothers have a penchant for that, you know, to sort of make movies that seem, you know, shows that seem smarter than they are, but in fact it's just kind of just
should be a little sillier.
Yeah, what I will say about it though is, like you mentioned, kind of that whole like constant existential crisis, you know, what does it mean to be alive and be human and become yourself? And I mean, like I think it's hard, like I mean, one season might be fine of that, but overall, I mean, this theme is not something that can really continue for an entire, like, you know, multi-season series. Like, we get it, their robots are having a crisis. Are they alive? Are they not? Like, I mean, how much of that can you possibly, like, withstand, you know? Like, I mean, it was great in, like, Ex Machina, for example, because it was just, oh, like, you know, a two-hour movie that we could kind of, like, tackle that whole question of, like, is this robot truly aware thing. But we already know these robots are like basically there. A lot of them are pretty aware at this point. So like, what are we? The real mystery at this point is just basically the maze. It's not even about like the robots at this point.
Right. It's the mystery that should be the focal point.
Yeah.
It isn't as much. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I had touched on this earlier, but I was wondering if you guys had an answer. When Anthony Hopkins is on his balcony, and the giant tractor is coming over, and he calls all his like field robots and like servant robots to leave. Is he destroying that house?
He's making a bunch of changes to the park itself. That the board,
and that includes that house.
That the board
basically,
is not really okay with. So Anthony Hopkins seems to now have this big agenda where he wants to make all these really expensive changes to the park, and we don't know why.
Okay, and that includes that house, and so he's telling all of them to leave so they don't get it ruined. Okay, all right, that's what I thought, but I thought it was kind of confusing, but, or maybe not, I guess, if we all read it.
It wasn't quite clear. They insinuated that he was going to be tearing down the house, or at least at Agave mm-hmm. Field.
Right, okay.
What do you guys think that he's going to, like, what do you think his changes are going to be?
I sort of went down the Reddit you know, rabbit hole of theories, right? So I heard about this this dual timeline theory, and then that kind of led me down this path of that Ford is actually trying to destroy it as well, right? Or he's trying to sort of end, like he's reached his limit and he's trying to end it, and he's using Arnold in the form of a clone to help him do that. And this clone version would be Jeffrey Wright's character, whose name I forget right now.
You mean Bernard?
Bernard, yeah.
So the idea is that Bernard owns Arnold's memories, or that maybe he, you know. So when we see him with Dolores and he's speaking to her about these private sessions, this is actually like a third timeline of when this guy Arnold was alive. Wow. And now, and there's, and then there's like an explanation for when he sees that photo of Arnold. You know, he sees two young white guys, but it could be that he's been programmed to see the photo that way. And then there's like this idea that, well, maybe, you know, the reason that it's even a theory is because it seems unlikely that Jeffrey Wright's character wouldn't have ever known about Arnold, because it seems like people know that there was a guy who killed himself. I mean, even what are their names?
Wyatt, I mean, to that point, no. Even if you're that high level of an exec there, you'd know who founded it. Like, you definitely would know the background. Yeah.
You know, actually, history,
actually,
right?
I want to point out something that actually supports that theory. There's a conversation where Bernard is talking to, we assume, his like ex-wife about the loss of their son. And he says specifically, like, the pain is all I have left of him. Then, after Dolores' parents are killed for, like, the 80th time, he asks her, like, you know, do you want me to erase the memory of your parents? And she says, no, because the memory of them is all I have left. Like, this pain is all I have. The exact words that he already said. And he asks her, like, why did you say that? Yeah. And she's like, oh, but my programming told me that this would be an appropriate response. Like, I pulled it from this reference. Which makes me think that maybe he did the same thing. Like, he pulled it from his reference. Right. Like, you know, like...
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of... Yeah. No, there's a lot of compelling, like, evidence towards it. And then there's the... As far as, like, the, I guess the logo is different, which I didn't notice, but I guess the logo is different in a couple of the storylines. So that maybe it's an earlier logo, an earlier version of it. And then also, what was the other thing? I mean, the big sort of reveal was that Clifton Collins Jr. Comes back in a different role, like, really soon after he's been murdered.
Oh, yeah, that definitely wasn't indicated that it's a different timeline. Also, have you guys heard about William possibly being the man in black?
No.
Yeah.
What? Go on.
Okay. Well, essentially the theory is that something that currently happens with the timeline with him and Dolores changes him into, like, this, like, evil tycoon. So basically he's going to go back to that company with his brother-in-law, fucking take that shit over, make a lot of money, go back to the park. To somehow, wait, and we're going to go into my personal theory that this is, like, Dolores number three, and that the real Dolores that he's with now is not the Dolores we see in the, like, in other episodes with Anthony Hopkins. Because I think that that's why he's looking for the maze. Maybe they find it, or she finds it, and she gets trapped there, and he's trying to rescue her. And it takes, for some reason...
Okay.
It takes a long-ass time. That's why he's an old man.
See, I mean, okay. Like, I think I have more enjoyment out of sort of guessing what the show is going to do than necessarily going through the motions of how it's doing
it. Because it takes too much time. Because it's just drawing itself out.
Because it takes too much time. And, like, and I have no emotional connection.
But you would if you knew more about, like, the motivations that all this could explain, right? Gotcha. Sorry, Armani, I cut you off. What were you saying?
No. I mean, now that Greg mentions this, I don't have any emotional attachment to any characters.
But, and maybe that's okay, right, for this kind of show. But it's a little bit worrying that it's supposed to be the, you know, I mean, we obviously love ourselves a little Game of Thrones. And if this is going to be the replacement, you know, I think it's a bit of a shame. I mean, the one person I'm kind of consistently intrigued by is Anthony Hopkins, but I think that's just because I could watch him. What's the phrase?
Read the phone book.
And I would be.
Well, that goes back into. Well, yeah. Sorry, go ahead, Alex. Do you mean this?
No. I was just gonna make an aside by Anthony Hopkins. Continue.
Oh, dang it! I lost. Okay, I was gonna say, going back to Greg's earlier statement about stakes. I think that's why we aren't as attached to these characters, because like we know that like, okay, humans can't be hurt, robots can't really die, and Game of Thrones people can actually die. So like this is feels like it's we're just gonna reset to the last save point and everyone's just gonna start over. Like, you know, like, so I feel like that definitely, until we see someone actually die, which I feel like we might see, because it, as they start getting deeper into the game, people, they, robots are actually physically hurting them.
Yeah, what was up with that? I thought they couldn't do that. And then there's two different, when, what's his name, Ben Barnes is getting attacked. Yeah, he gets punched,
choked, slapped, held. I mean, they all, I mean, him and William both get assaulted by these robots.
We were trying to figure that out, with my friends who I was watching with, and my one theory was like, okay, maybe it's like, you know how around, I mean, very fitting around Halloween, there's certain haunted houses where you can sign a waiver to allow them to touch you, you know what I mean? Once you're in that. And I was like, did he maybe sign a similar type of Westworld waiver where they're like, you know, you do this, it gets a little bit, they won't kill you, but it'll
fuck like you up. Kill you,
you I know? Mean, that's what I kind of assumed. I maybe thought like, okay, like if you step into these like more like outlaw territories, they let's say like, hey, they might hit you, but they're not gonna actually hurt you. That guy was choking him. Like, I don't know, he didn't look like he was gonna stop. So there didn't seem to be a safe word either. Yeah. So. I don't know. I also don't understand.
Yeah, someone's gonna die. They have to kill someone. So it's interesting.
I don't understand how the monitoring system works.
Oh, the rules of this thing are I stopped even thinking about that, because the second you ask one question, it opens up a Pandora's box.
It's unraveling a little bit. I still love the show, but I see a lot of plot holes that are just like, what. Like, as a, I mean, you think, like, there'd be a sensor on guests, or, like, there'd be a panic button just in case something's happening. I mean, who was watching them? They just seemed chaos.
Well, the stupidest moment to me was when Ed Harris calls for a pyro effect, and then they go and they let, you know, they explode the door for him, and then he goes in and he shoots everyone up. And I was like, okay, so is everything constantly, like... Like, how does someone learn all those little ways of communicating with the sort of eye in the sky? You know, like, I know that that's not really the point of the show, but if they just spent maybe 5 minutes in the pilot explaining that, it would really fill in a lot of the sort of, you know,
gray area for me. Wait, and also to that point, so we have the Man in Black, who seems to be kind of, in a way, beating the game, or kind of, like, really, like, playing a game in a way it's not meant to be played, from what we can tell. But yet, they seem prepared to do the pyrotechnics, so that was like, wait, is he just still following the path? Is this still, like, the game?
Yeah, they seem to know. I mean, because Anthony Hopkins, or Ford, confronts him, right? Yeah, he confronts him at the end here, so... it seems to be like they know what he's doing every step, which makes it even stupider, because when he scalps the guy episode two, you're thinking like, oh, he's under the radar. He's like, he's fucking up these robots in a way that is not okay by the park standards. But then it turns out like, oh no, they know exactly what he's doing, and I guess they're gonna give him a new scalp and move on.
And question: aren't the people who are making these robots somehow they put the scalps on them? Wouldn't they be like, what is this map?
Yeah, what's going on here? Hey, boss, what's
I mean, with the maze, I'm finding, people built, all right, there's a lot of people that work here. A lot of people clean up, a lot of people designed it, a lot of people maintain it, a lot of people watch it 24/7. So I don't know how there's like a hidden maze or a hidden part of this world that like isn't common knowledge. Like, that's what seems kind of, right. I mean, okay, right. At the same time, I worked at IKEA, and it's a massive place. It's not nearly as big as Westworld, but I can also see there's parts of IKEA I probably never went in or never really thought about or really knew existed.
Armani's like, there was a rug section?
I could have used a rug.
I was always walking straight to my little booth.
There is a certain point of like, you have a role, you just care about that, your section. But I'm just saying that someone Someone else besides Anthony Hopkins would have to know about the center of this maze.
Well, I hope I'm surprised. I always want TV to be good, you know, and I want shows to be good. I want to be entertained. My hope is that we're going to find something about the world outside of Westworld that informs and sort of answers a lot of these questions for us. You know, like, are we on another planet? Is the whole world kind of a bizarre place? You know, like, something really impactful that's going to explain the importance of Westworld to humans, to the people, you know, who go there, not to the robots. Because I think that ship has sailed for me as far as any interest in, like, the plight of artificial intelligence taking on a human.
You know,
being.
I will say, like, remember the movie AI, the Spielberg movie from 2001?
Yeah, like, of course, it was great.
Mm-hmm. I cared about that kid, you know, because he was vulnerable and he seemed, and like, he wasn't going to get reprogrammed. There was no, like, if he was destroyed, that was it for him. And we didn't know that there were other models. And even if we did, we wouldn't care because we were invested in that one, you know? So there's a way to make it work. But the fact that you can just reset everybody or turn them off. But, like, you know, I guess if you cared about them more initially, them getting turned off would be sad. But it's like, if they're not super interesting, then it doesn't matter as much. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, look, you can do it in a... Yeah, you can do it. I mean, it's been done. WALL-E is like a children's version of that. That's really beautiful. And I mean, but there's something about the way they're handling this that just, to me, it's not landing. And, you know, it's something like, okay, at what point do they get their memories wiped? Like, is it when they fall asleep or when they die? But, like, sometimes they don't die every day, right? So they just go to sleep and they wake up and then they start all over. But then what happens if, like right now Dolores is on this weird storyline that don't they see her going off, and so is she, like, how much freedom does she get? But then, like, does that run in conflict if someone else wants to rape Dolores, because that seems to be her
role in that. So she's the first android created, so she's created to be raped. What is this, like? Well, okay, actually, yeah. no, because she was in a different, they said that she was once part of a different storyline, so that was always, she was not always supposed to be like Dolores, you know.
Well, she's supposed to be special, right? So, like, it's like a prison, kind of, because, like, Anthony Hopkins is worried about her.
I mean, she's special because she's hot. Duh, that's how these things work.
Well, and she's the oldest one.
Arnold showed her special attention, though, right? Isn't that
That's what they call it? No, I'm just kidding.
No, it wasn't that, though, but wasn't it, like, there was, like, a special, like he's worried about what she's capable of or whatever, Anthony Hopkins is? But, oh, yeah, I mean, obviously, I'm sure you showed her a lot of special attention that way as well.
There's a scene recently while Anthony, in the last episode, where Anthony Hopkins is interviewing her, and he seems to kind of get emotional about it. Like, he says, like, he doesn't want to talk to her anymore, and he walks away kind of tearful. So I think that she might be actually modeled after someone of significance, either him or quote-unquote Arthur.
It's such a crapshoot.
No,
it's very random.
I feel like I'm really hoping that, like, there's gonna be a huge payoff, that, like, all of this makes sense and it's all like, oh my god, crazy twists all around. But I'm also afraid it's gonna be kind of like Lost was, where it had this great build up to a lot of mysteries. And a lot of things were just never, like, explained.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's J.J. Abrams, you know? Yeah. So it's like, he didn't have a plan when he started Lost. It's the same shit. He's like, oh, look at all these cool possibilities. Like, I'm not going to decide what to do until we have to cancel the show.
Yeah.
It's dangerous.
My predictions with this season, at least, is, like, we'll maybe get to the start of the maze. I'm hoping that programmer dies. Elsie. Yeah, there you go, Elsie. I think we're gonna get our first guest or other human death.
Yeah. That'd be nice.
I also think that the rope. You know how Maeve is like, Maeve is like overriding her sleep commands. I think she's going to find a way to help other robots do that, and that all the ones currently in the freezer are going to, like, wake up. And it's just going to get crazy. I think, the second biggest thing will be, like, who is stealing information from the park? Are robots escaping? I mean, I hope not, because how? Like, there should be a precaution for that. That seems crazy. Mm-hmm. And also, they're really expensive and should have trackers. So, I don't know. I mean, see, now I'm, like, starting to have, like, damn it, why, you guys, like, kind of corrupted me a little bit.
Well, I mean, it's still, like, a fun watch, you know, but I guess I hold HBO to a higher standard, you know, and it just, so I'm trying to figure out what that is, you know, I'm trying to see what, but my suspicion is it's just sort of, you know, it is what it is, you know. they are who we thought they were.
Nice Bears reference.
Yeah.
So there are other
parks,
right?
Unclear. In the
like original medieval movie. World.
Yeah. It was
Hey Laro.
Westworld was right. There's a medieval world and there's a future world. And there's a sequel film that they made called Future World. But unclear, right? And how weird would it be if it turns out there is another world and what? And he's just been focusing
and
on
and like
this
the maze is to another world, but like he could have just picked that ride or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, that's probably not what it is. That wouldn't make any sense. But like, yeah, maybe this does have a resolution though. Westworld ends and then they keep calling the show Westworld, but it's actually about, you know, Roman world or whatever the next season.
Oh no, I hope not.
Yeah.
It's the same problem, right?
It starts again.
It's ultimately the same problem.
What about, like, I also think that, like...
There's something...
I don't remember, I don't know if the movie did this, but don't you feel like... And I guess also if people that had seen the movie would know, but, you know, everything's a remake or a reboot anyway, so there would be a lot of people that didn't know or didn't remember. But what if, like, they just didn't tell you what the show, like, was really about? So, like, you actually thought it was these people having weird memories and, like, things being strange for at least, like, a couple episodes, and they kind of led you on? And then you realize what was actually going on was that they were, like, part of a park and they could be, like, abused however the patrons of the park wanted them to be abused, you know? I don't know, like, how sustainable it is, really, but maybe, like, an episode or two. I thought that'd be a cool twist. Because then there's more stakes.
At least the first. Well, the problem, I think, with the pilot was when you show me that her day starts over and over again like that, even though it changes kind of at the end, at that point, I'm just, like, so I've been given a little glimpse into what has been the current state of this place, which she just does this every day. So, like what, okay, so now there's a change. Well, that change is only important if it makes her dangerous.
Which it doesn't at first, or at least not yet, as far as we know.
No.
Hey, guys.
Just wanted to call out El Lazo for some dope
orgy
parties.
Hey, sorry, actually, keep recording. My phone died. I'm in a different device. You just keep recording. I haven't stopped recording.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Just repeat where you left off.
Orgies.
Like orgy parties.
Oh, I said El Lazo throws some pretty dope orgy parties. That's really my biggest takeaway.
Just have more of those.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that, I just think they're old news. Like, there was a huge, story about, like, when they were looking for extras for that scene, and kind of the descriptions were willing to be completely naked, willing to form a human table, and okay with genital-to-genital touching. So it was really strange.
Wow, that is... Huh.
And the answer is...
yes. Obviously.
Yes.
Do you guys...
Sign
do you,
me
will
up.
You guys finish out the season, or do you feel like you're not about it?
For the good of the pod, yeah.
Nothing, No, but I mean, I'll finish it. There's, you know, five more episodes left. I don't know, you know, like they really need to, they need to do something really special, I think, though, for me to think about a second season.
Yeah, down yeah. The line. I mean, the problem is now that we've gotten as an audience, because we've seen so much great TV, really good at predicting all possible outcomes, you know? And I think that there's only, realistically with a story, there's only so much you can do with twists. You know what I mean? If you're just relying on twists to make it interesting, then there's only, without it being just fucking ridiculous.
Yeah. Maybe if we got to know more about one of the humans that became more, we got more invested, like the Man in Black or somebody, it would be an easier sell down the line for like the next couple of seasons.
Yeah.
Like someone has to kind of be your guy or girl and like you're connected to them.
Right.
Well, overall, yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward to it. I know you guys aren't necessarily, but.
I'm interested.
No, yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. Yeah, I'm interested. I mean, the mystery element of it, I do want to see how it's wrapped up. You know, I want to see sort of what they do with it, because I was thinking after the pilot, I was like, this premise could either be amazing or it could be fucking horrible. You know, because like, but like the margin for error is really tight with it,
especially with like the budget and the fact that Game of Thrones is ending. They really want this series to succeed and really fill that hole. So,
yeah, yeah.
I guess only time.
So we'll see. Time will tell. But I'm sticking with it. And you know, I love old timey piano playing "Black Hole Sun."
I know it really makes the episode for you. But yeah, I mean, hopefully we'll get together for another one for the season finale, just to see if like we've. Our minds have changed and we're looking forward to season two, or if we're just like, we'll just let it go.
Cool. I'm down to do like every couple episodes too. So we do like episode 7 or 8 and then the last 2 or something like that.
Okay. Yeah, it sounds good. Well, thank you guys very much. I'll see you later.